Good evening. Welcome here, everyone. Start with a verse that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Shall we open in a word of prayer? Gracious God and Father, we come before you tonight to look into your word. We thank you for the privilege, the honor that you would give us. You wouldn't just let us flounder around trying to find our way to you, but you gave us your word. You gave us your spirit to interpret and guide us in your word and to lead us, Lord, into all truth. And so tonight we are looking at again the Ten Commandments, and we thank you for them as they guide us in our daily lives. I pray that as we take a closer look at them, and we maybe even briefly scratch the surface of them, that it would have an impact on our lives, that we would be able to apply them in our lives as we have in the past, but maybe in a renewed sense, a renewed commitment to loving you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Lord, we pray that you would guide each and every one of our thoughts, our hearts, that we would be right before you, and should there be any sin or error or just anything that's hindering us, Lord, from receiving your word and your truth, pray that you would just cleanse us and renew us by the power of your spirit and the forgiveness we find in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things, and thanking you in advance for the blessing that we anticipate from your word. In Jesus, our Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Well, we have, again, welcome everyone here. Good to see you all here. We have been studying out of the Ten Commandments. And so instead of having the discussion at the end, I decided let's start out with the discussion, because we've already had three studies, so we should know something. So I got a few questions, and they're pretty simple, and if you get it wrong, don't worry. It's some of them you might have to worry about. But the first one, so we study the Ten Commandments. We find the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and we find them in two places in the Old Testament. Can anybody tell me which two books we find the list of the Ten Commandments? Exodus and Deuteronomy. Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. So, Howard Entz started off, and we began with commandment number one. Who can recite to me the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then we had a study, or the second study Pastor Reuben had. So what is the second commandment? Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. Yeah, no idols, right? So no other gods before him, no idols or images in the likeness of anything in heaven above, earth beneath, or the waters below. And then we had Pastor Frank last time speaking about the third commandment. Yes, so we're not to take the Lord's name in vain. We're not to misuse his name. Today, we are on the fourth commandment, and we haven't even studied it yet, but I'm sure somebody knows it. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How did Jesus sum up all of the law and all of the commandments in the New Testament? Who can tell me? He summed it up in two commandments. That's right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And those two things, Jesus says, sums up all of the commandments. So when we look at the Ten Commandments, it's often been said that the first four actually deal with our relationship or our duty to God and how we relate to God. And the last six deal with on a horizontal plane on how we deal with or have relationships with mankind, with each other. And I think that is true, and I think somewhat the fourth commandment is actually kind of a transitional commandment. It's both dealing with God and with our fellow man. So in Exodus, we're gonna look at both Exodus 20 verse 8, where we find the fourth commandment, and Deuteronomy 5 verse 12. So as you're turning to Exodus 20, verse 8, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, in Exodus, or in the Exodus count, Moses has just received the two tablets of stone. God has engraved the Ten Commandments on them on Mount Sinai. And he is to bring them, to give them to the people of Israel as they have been led out of Egypt by God's mighty right hand. But in Deuteronomy, Moses is actually reminding the children of Israel of the Ten Commandments, the ones that he had given, or God had given to him on Mount Sinai. And he is reminding the children of Israel just before they enter into the Promised Land after their wilderness wanderings. So Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, and this is the explanation of the commandment, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And then if you keep your finger there or your bookmark and you flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy donkey, nor anything that, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So the fourth commandment has an explanation to it. Not all the other ones had that. And so it explains what it means to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. There's both a thou shalt and a thou shalt not in the explanation. So what is the thou shalt in the explanation? What are we supposed to do?
Keep it holy.
Yeah, that's in the commandment. We're to keep it holy. But in the explanation, there's something you're doing for 6 days. Working. 6 days, you're supposed to labor and do all your work, right? And then it says, there's something you're not supposed to do, and that is you're not supposed to do that same work on the seventh day. Sometimes we tend, when we think of the Sabbath, I know sometimes some conversations I've had, or when we talk about Sunday nowadays in the New Testament church, sometimes we get sidetracked immediately into what we should do or can do, or what we think we shouldn't do, or what others think we shouldn't do. And so we'll maybe get to some of that, not really too much, but I think it's important we don't just get sidetracked right away, but rather there's a few important questions we would answer first. And so before we go there, first of all, let's try and answer the question, what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is one day in seven. It's a cycle of seven. It's one day in seven. It's a weekly day that God has appointed for us to rest from our labors, from our routine labors, from our routine activities that fill up the other 6 days of the week. And we're to devote that day to worship of God and the fellowship with his people. The word Sabbath simply means rest. The Sabbath day, or Sabbath, is a day of holy resting. It's for our, we'll see later, it's for our benefit. It's for spiritual refreshment in God. In Exodus, God actually bases the Sabbath command in the work and the pattern of creation. Look at verse 11. 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we know from the creation account that the Sabbath, or God, observed the Sabbath right from creation. And here in his giving of the law, he bases this Sabbath command on his work and rest pattern of creation. It wasn't just something that only started when he gave the Ten Commandments to Israel. It actually has its roots in creation. So God established the Sabbath at creation. He completed his work in 6 days, and then he rested the seventh day, according to Genesis 2, verse 2. That seventh day was a day that God blessed, and he hallowed it, or made it holy. And so God set this day apart for people to worship God. But then when we come on later, where in the life of Israel here in Exodus 20, or sorry, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's the Sabbath takes on an added meaning in the life of Israel. God tells his people that the Sabbath day, in verse 15 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, is a day that they were to remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. So here in Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people that it is a day to remember the mighty work of God in redeeming them from Egypt. The Exodus, exiting out of slavery and bondage. The Exodus actually always pointed forward to God's work in redeeming his people. God's work in redeeming his people from their sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the Sabbath was to remind them of what God had done in delivering them from Egypt and bondage. And it was also pointing forward to when he would one day deliver them from their bondage of sin through his Savior, or through his Son, Jesus Christ. So just as God delivered Israel from Egypt, we have been delivered as the New Testament believers from our slavery, from our bondage to sin, through his Son, Jesus Christ. So what's the Sabbath? Well, simply, Sabbath is rest. It's It's rest from our routine labors, activities of the other 6 days. It's a day that God has blessed. He has set it apart. He has made it holy. And it's a day where we are to worship the Lord. Secondly, the question we want to maybe answer a little bit is, what was the punishment for not keeping the Sabbath? Won't spend much time here, but turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So here again, we see it is based out of creation, the Sabbath principle and command. What was the punishment for not observing the Sabbath? Death. Death. That soul shall not live, he says. Why? Why so severe? Or at least we think it's severe. Because not observing the Sabbath was disobeying a command of God, which is sin. The wages of sin is death. So death because of the sin of not observing the Sabbath. And that is why, ultimately, our Savior died. Because of sin, right? The wages of sin is death, and his people, us, have failed to observe his commandments. And so Christ taking on our flesh, taking on our sin upon himself, and that is why he died. So the punishment of it is death. Thirdly, should we observe the Sabbath today? Should we still observe the Sabbath today? What do you think? I see some nods. Super. Well, let's get into it. Some people have argued, you can turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, that because the fourth commandment is the only commandment that is not reiterated or articulated again in the New Testament, that it is no longer relevant. Some people have said the New Testament actually does away with the Sabbath command, and they use Colossians 3 and Romans 14, or sorry, Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days. which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So these are these days, Paul is saying, that was observed in the Old Testament, these holy days, these new moon days, these Sabbath days, are just a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now remember that the context to which Paul is speaking here is he is writing in Colossians to those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to believers, to the church. And he is warning the church, the believers, of these false ideas or teachings that they now, after being set free in Christ, the one who has fulfilled the law, that they now had to go back and observe these certain days, these new moon days, these feast days, these ceremonial regulation days. And he says, no, you know what? You are now under the new covenant. They no longer needed to, he talked about the dietary laws. They no longer needed to keep those dietary laws because now God had made everything clean. And so you could eat, you didn't have to not eat certain foods and other foods. So he's talking to Jewish Christians, he's talking to New Testament Christians about Jewish Old Testament ceremonial observances. So then if you go to Romans 14, Paul says something similar here, speaking about in the context of the weaker brother. Verse 5 of 14. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. So, again, Paul has these special days, feast days, these Sabbaths in mind, and I don't know this for sure, or I don't know. I probably haven't studied it in depth enough, but at the end of the feast days, we studied the feast last year, that there was always these special Sabbaths that they were supposed to have, or in the beginning of the feast days. And that, I think, is what he has in mind here in Colossians and also in Romans, that these feast days, these Sabbaths, they are the ceremonial laws that are given to Israel to foreshadow Christ. They're a picture of what was to come. So again, Paul is speaking in the context of the Mosaic Covenant feast days. And so in that sense, Scripture does not require Christians to keep the Saturday Sabbath as God commanded Israel, the ceremonial part of it. But there's a moral part to also to this Sabbath command. And I think it's important that we see that the New Testament affirms this Sabbath principle as a standing commandment for all people. Not Sabbath in the way that we must keep the seventh day, the Saturday Sabbath of Israel. But like the rest of the Ten Commandments, Jesus, he often taught about the Sabbath. In fact, he was trying to clear up all the misinformation of how the Pharisees were teaching that people should observe the Sabbath. He was correcting their misunderstandings. The religious leaders of Jesus' day had taken this commandment And instead of it being a blessing, it was a burden. Why? Because they kept adding laws in order to help people keep this commandment. Burden upon burden, they added to it. And so instead of the Sabbath being a joy, it was miserable. Again and again, Jesus clears up the true meaning. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. He clears up the meaning of the purpose, the intent of the Sabbath. And he's actually able to do that because he is Lord of the Sabbath. So far from abolishing the Sabbath, Jesus reaffirms it. He clarifies it. He clarifies its true meaning. Beginning at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered. And they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the priests, and if we go to Numbers, we see this. The priests still have to do their job. They still have to work, in a sense, on the Sabbath day. They have to do their duty on the Sabbath day. And they're blameless, he says. They're not guilty for doing that on the Sabbath day. Verse 6, But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So Jesus declares himself as the Lord of this Sabbath day, the one who's in control of it. Verse 9, And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. See, Jesus had already healed people on the Sabbath days. And so they already knew this is somewhere we can trap them, because they wanted to say that you're not allowed to do this. And Jesus says in verse 11, He said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the others. So Jesus is clearing up the wrong thinking in this passage of Scripture of the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, 27, he says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was designed to be a blessing rather than a burden to those who keep it. And what is interesting is how the New Testament church, the New Testament believers, made an immediate switch, a clear switch. And you can read about it all through church history, that immediately after the resurrection of Jesus, they no longer observed the Saturday Sabbath. That would have been quite the change. When they have this commandment to observe the Sabbath, and immediately after Jesus' resurrection, they're now meeting on the first day of the week. See, the Sabbath was actually a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. Ezekiel tells us that. I gave them my Sabbath, Ezekiel 20 verse 12, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But now, We as Christians, we know that we are underneath the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 3 tells us that. Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 explain that. In fact, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, he argues that the church, like Israel, is on a wilderness journey. In chapter 3 and 4, he says that they're on this wilderness journey and that we have been delivered from Egypt or from sin, but we have yet to enter the promised land. We have been saved, but we have not yet been ultimately saved. We are awaiting, he says, a Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. For if Jesus, okay, I got to explain something here. If you have a King James Version, it says Jesus. If you have any other version, what does it say? Whose name? Joshua. So if you have a King James Version, just look at there might be a little letter or note there, and it'll bring you to your margin or the bottom of the page, and you'll see the note saying, that is Joshua. So it's speaking of Joshua here. For if Joshua had given them rest, remember, Israel's come out of the promised land. Joshua's now, out of Egypt. Joshua's now going to bring them into the promised land, and he brings them in. For if Joshua had given them rest, that's the people of Israel, then would he, that's God, not afterward have spoken of another day. So if they had completed this rest in the promised land through Joshua, God would not have spoken of another rest, another day. And he goes on to say, there remaineth, verse 9, therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Again, back to creation. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, what example of unbelief? The example of the children of Israel who had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not believe, because of a lack of faith. So we need to labor to make sure we don't fall into the same situation and ultimately won't enter into our final rest, heaven. For the word of God, verse 12, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So just as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, entering into the promised land of rest, we too look forward to a future rest. Even though we have that rest within us now as we believe, when we're saved, that is the rest that Christ gives us. It's a Sabbath rest, but yet Hebrews says that we must strive, we must labor, Hebrews 4:11, to enter into that rest. Otherwise, or we might fall after the same example of unbelief that the unbelieving Israelites had. This weekly rest verse 9 of chapter 4 in Hebrews reminds us we're not home yet. Amen. The Lord's Day, as the New Testament church began observing, what we call Sunday, is a day of rejoicing. It's a day of praising our Savior, who has finished the work of redemption so that we may enter into the rest that Adam failed to give us, the rest that Joshua could not bring to the people of Israel, but a rest that our Savior, as we trust in Him by faith, gives us, and ultimately we will enter into the completion, the fulfillment of that Sabbath rest. So Hebrews isn't just talking about a Sabbath rest of a day of observance, but heaven as our future Sabbath rest. So if Hebrews talks like this, then surely continuing to observe this weekly Sabbath, the weekly Lord's Day, the weekly Sunday, whatever we want to call it, as a reminder of and to help us pursue that Sabbath rest that lies ahead of us each time on Sunday, it should remind us of that, I should say. It should remind us of Christ's resurrection, what He has accomplished, and it should remind us of that future rest, that Sabbath rest for the people of God that is to come. And again, going back to where we began, this Sabbath is an it finds its origins in creation. And therefore, it is, I think, for all human beings, for all time. But, like we said already, the New Testament tells us of the change that the Sabbath observance went through in light of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Israel gathered to worship their God on the seventh day, according to God's command. In the New Testament, we see the church meeting together on the first day of the week under the supervision of the apostles, and therefore according to the command of Christ. We see that in the Acts of the Apostles. We see in Acts 20, we see that. We see it in 1 Corinthians 16. We see it in Revelation. John, on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, he is in prayer, or he's in the Spirit. And so why the change of day? Why would they have changed the day? Why wouldn't they have just kept it? And simply put, it's because of the resurrection of Christ. It's the day Jesus rose from the dead. As the Sabbath before the resurrection, it commemorated the work of God in creation. Now, every time we meet on Sunday, we are commemorating what? A new creation, the resurrection of Christ, a new creation in His people. So what can we do, what can't we do on the Sabbath? What should observing the Sabbath look like? Well, it should look like resting from our routine, our regular labors of the other 6 days. Those activities should be, we should cease from them. It should be, we should do that to honor the Lord. We should do it to worship God. So should we still keep the Sabbath? I think what we call it maybe, or in my mind, isn't that relevant, whether we call it what the New Testament church called it, the Lord's Day, or whether we call it Sunday, or whether we call it the Christian Sabbath, as some have in the past. That is irrelevant. But yes, I think we should keep the Sabbath. Not in the same way that Israel did in the Old Covenant, but we keep it as the apostles did and the New Testament believers did on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. So what does it look like as we keep the Sabbath or the Lord's Day? Well, first, I guess in order of importance, the Sabbath is the day each week that God calls us to set apart for public worship and Christian fellowship. We gather As God's people, every Lord's Day, we gather to do what God created and redeemed us to do. Well, what do we do here? We are to come to worship Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him, obey Him, learn from Him. And when we do that, we are preparing to meet with God. We are preparing to receive the blessing that we can only receive on that day from Him, I believe, as He has blessed it, as He has made it holy. And so I think we should take every opportunity that we have, every Lord's Day, to meet with God's people, to gather and worship, to enjoy fellowship. Every Lord's Day we gather, we declare the truth about God as we hear His word preached. We hear the truth about God. We hear the truth about ourselves. We hear what this life is all about, and we hear about the life to come. And we hear it from God's word. Remember what the Sabbath does. We are to remember the Sabbath. It is a reminder. It reminds us of creation, how God created us, how God created the world, and in the seventh day He rested. It reminds us of how He saved a people in the Old Testament, Israel, and He brought them out of Egypt, and He brought them into the promised land, the land of rest. But that wasn't the fulfillment of His covenant. No, it reminds us of redemption through Jesus Christ, our Savior, redeeming us from our Egypt, from our slavery to sin, and bringing us into the promised land through His Son, Jesus Christ, into Sabbath rest, and ultimately into our final rest in heaven. Think of the week. 6 days. You're supposed to work and work and work. And it seems like we never have enough time to get it all done. But God says we need to take a pause to that. And that's a huge testimony to the world. The testimony is to the world saying, you know, there's somebody else who's in control of my schedule. And I will obey Him. I will observe the commands that He has called us to observe. And so as we cease from our work and other activities that fill up Monday through Saturday, we are honoring the Lord. And He will bless us for it. Now remember, and I don't have much time, that Jesus, there are certain works. And that's what Jesus was doing, correcting on the Sabbath day. There are certain works that are needful on the Sabbath day. Works of necessity. Works of mercy. Kindness, love, mercy are all things that need to be done on the Sabbath day. Certain of our occupations, they are needful. Those are a must for society. For love of the Lord and for our brothers and sisters. So keeping the Sabbath actually is something that looks strange to our world that is a 24/7 world. But it is a powerful testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In a world where people are mastered by their calendars, by their schedules, we're saying, no, He's Lord of my schedule, my time. And you know, we gladly obey it because we know that Jesus' commands, He says, my burden is light, or my yoke is easy, or something like that. No, it's my Matthew 11:28, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the true Sabbath. Christ giving us rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your weary bodies. No, Rest for your soul, brothers and sisters. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do you have the Sabbath rest of Christ in your soul? When we set apart the first day of the week, we are declaring openly that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Every Sunday is like declaring the resurrection of Christ. We are testifying to the saving work, His saving work of sinners. We are declaring the reality of rest that awaits us one day in heaven. Keeping the Sabbath is a profound declaration of the gospel, its truth, its importance, and claim on our heart and our lives. In keeping the Lord's Day, you know, we're saying that God, our Maker, our Redeemer, is altogether worthy of worship and praise and devotion. He is worthy of our obedience. Turn to Hebrews 10. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so today I'm going to exhort you. What are you doing next Sunday? Will you be together with God's people? Will you be praising? Will you be worshiping Him? Giving Him honor and praise and thanks for the rest that He has given you for your soul? There is much more to the Sabbath that I have not even touched. And I'm open, I'm willing, or would love to have some comments and some feedback. Is the Lord's Day, Sunday, a joy or a burden? It's a joy. And the older you get, I think if you'd ask some of the older people, the ones who've been a believer the longer, I think, at least the older I get, the more and more blessing the Sabbath day is. And the more and more you realize what a great honor, what a great privilege it will be to enter into the Sabbath rest of heaven. Any other questions or thoughts? Yep. And that's a good point you make, Dad, because I think I missed it in my notes, because sometimes you miss things. But that very point, we cannot work to earn our rest, our salvation, and that's how you, there's no working. It's Christ that you completely rest in by faith in trusting in Him to be your Savior. Nope. He was finished and He knew that His creation would need it. No. Reuben had something to say.
I think that was all with our salvation.
Yeah.
I love this commandment because that gives me a perfect excuse for not to love.
We have much to pray about often. I think we should spend some time in prayer. And so let's share some requests. Let's never forget to pray for the lost.
Young man named Carlos.
Carlos? Mm-hmm. Yes. Who wants to pray for Carlos and the lost? Henry, thank you. What else can we pray for? We can pray for the people in Ukraine, especially the believers. It's not getting easier there, and also those in Israel, for Israel. Who would like to take that prayer request? Thank you. Anything else? Yes. Very important. Pray for our children and our families. That the Lord would save them, that they would grow up as great witnesses in our community and beyond. Who would like to take that one? Frank? Anything else? Let's go into prayer, and just speak loudly if you can so everybody can hear, and once you men have prayed, then I will close.
Addictions. for our brothers and sisters there who have preserved the word for us. They've been so blessed by it, Father. Let us not cease to pray for the peace of Israel. And we pray for the eternal peace, Father. Not just an end of the war, but a peace where our King will be sitting on his throne in Zion. And your word will go forth from every corner of the earth, that all the people shall bow before you, that all the people shall keep your commandments and bring you glory. In your Son's name we pray this.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you again. And as Jesus prayed for Lazarus to come out of the grave, and he said that you always hear him. We know also that you always hear us, Lord. You're never asleep. You're never away. You're always, your ears are attentive to your children, Lord. So thank you for that. And Lord, we bring our children now before you. And we know, Lord, that you have a desire for our children to know you, for you do not want them to be lost, as we see as Israel offered their children up to Moloch. How you said that never came into your mind. That you never ever thought of something like that. You did not desire for them to be tortured in that way, and you desire for the children to come to you. So Lord, as we, as mothers and fathers, thinking of our own precious children and hurting when they are going astray, how much more you look upon mankind and all the children that are gone, that are going astray. But maybe also to the moms and dads that are not living a life that points the way to you. Many of us have failed, and Lord, may we always recognize when we fail, may we say, repent before you and before the children, so they can see that we have made an error, and that we are sorry for that, so they are once again directed to the true way. Father, undertake for our children, because the world is coming against them. The enemy wants to destroy them. He's going and younger, younger, and younger. He's attacking them. He's attacking them in schools. He's attacking them just on billboards. Everywhere we go, there is just an onslaught against your name and your will, Lord. And it's just, and everywhere they look, there is evil to be seen. And it becomes natural. It becomes normal. But Father, may we always point them to you and tell them, no, that is not normal. That is not the way you designed it. That is not the way you wanted it. And may they, Lord, get a revelation of you. And may they walk, and may your army be built to glorify you. For that is why we are here, is to glorify your name. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, you're so grateful that you would look upon us, and that you would be gracious enough to grant to us the Sabbath rest through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we look forward to that day, Lord, when we will be with you, and we will enter into that final rest. But Lord, as we are here now, I pray that we would be, as Hebrews said, that we would strive to enter into that rest, so that we would not be those who fall away like Israel in the wilderness in unbelief, but that we would continue on in faith, and that our families, our children, our church would be one that, Lord, you would keep in the faith. Grant us faith, Lord, where we fail to believe, and help us along life's journey in this way. And so, Lord, as we look forward with joyous anticipation to our final Sabbath, we also look forward to this coming Lord's Day. And the day Lord's Day after that, may we be those who come wanting to serve you, serve your people, worship you, honor you, and praise you. And so, Lord, I just want to pray the blessing upon the people that we find in Hebrews. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks again for coming, and see you on the next Lord's Day. We look forward to it.